Recently, the Louisville Democratic Party announced a rally on Thursday and had 500 plus people show up on Saturday. How did they do that? And who is leading the charge in Louisville with the Democratic Party? We're going to talk today with Logan Gaddy, who is the chair of the Louisville Democratic Party, and learn a little bit more about him and about what they're doing that seems to be really working. Before we do, I want to encourage you to click the like button. If you don't subscribe to our channel normally, hit the subscribe button. And if you want to support the work, I'll have more about that at the end of the video. Let's talk with Logan Gaddy. So we're here today with Logan Gaddy, the chair of the Louisville Democratic Party and also the interim executive director of LISC, which I will let him name and explain in just a second. Logan, welcome to the state of Kentucky.
Thank you for having me. Much appreciated.
So before we get into the Democratic Party, I don't want to missay or misstate the LISC thing. So why don't you explain what LISC stands for and what you do as your day job, as it were?
Yeah, so I am the deputy director of LISC Louisville. It is a field office for a national CDFI, which is a community development financial institution. Essentially, what our role is to invest in neighborhoods that have traditionally been undercapitalized for a number of reasons, whether that's redlining or other policies that have been racist, inequitable, et cetera. So our focus is on creating lending and financing opportunities, mostly in Louisville, in the West End, Smoketown, Shelby Park. We also do technical assistance and other support services for various community systems and supports like childcare, business development organizations, et cetera. You know, our goal is at the end to fund and finance small businesses, affordable housing, and other community-facing services that really help to reinvigorate and drive people into these areas to make them livable, workable, et cetera.
Cool. That sounds like a very impactful kind of job.
But it provides a lot of warm and fuzzies, and it makes me feel good about the work I'm doing. Yeah.
Well, speaking of impactful, that would be one word I would use to describe your tenure so far as chair of the Louisville Democratic Party. How long have you been chair?
So I was elected chair in the end of May of 2024. So basically a week and a half or so after the primaries were over, I took over as chair.
From Virginia Woodward, if I remember correct.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. So you stepped in and then you've assembled this staff or these people with you. Your vice chair or assistant chair is Roz?
Yeah, Roz Welch is the vice chair.
Okay. I just have been real impressed with all the activities that you put together and the energy that you have brought to the role. If you were to look back over the last, say, 6 to 8 months, what would you say are some of your signature events or signature highlights?
Yeah, so I took over in obviously a very busy time, not only because we had the general election, bearing down on us, but there's all this administrative and sort of behind the scenes work just to get there. So I think a week after I took over, we had a county convention to decide delegates to the state convention. And then, you know, 2 or 3 weeks after that had the state convention. And then there's all these, you know, different things that you have to take care of as far as just administrative work that a lot of people don't think about as far as running a county party. As of right now, we don't have any actual paid staff. We have a couple folks that volunteer and contribute their time, and they are much appreciated because they're doing, work that truly deserves to be compensated, to be honest. And it just kind of helps to run the organization, especially as we kind of get our footing over the next, year or so as we move from 2025 into 2026. So it's put us in a good position where we're reestablishing really crucial relationships with our elected officials, and trying to essentially create a more cohesive party here locally. Because I think, over the last maybe 7 or 8 years, there's been some sort of degradation in a lot of those relationships for one reason or another. And it shows because we've not really been successful in a lot of our elections. We've lost metro council seats. We've lost our state house majority in 2016, and then like just completely lost the plot in 2018. And even locally, we've made some gains in the state house, but not as much as we would have liked to have seen. Obviously,
Sure.
those key areas of northeastern Jefferson County that we were hoping would flip this time did not do that,
Right.
mostly due to some lower turnout for one reason or another. But as far as sort of signature events, I think, having, I guess really just being sort of out there and more engaged with the community has been really important. I made it a duty of mine to make sure that I was in spaces where we haven't been traditionally, especially in non-election cycles. So going out to the bishop's table, going to a lot of our West End, leaders, and just saying like, here's who I am and here's what I want to do to help. I think that's incredibly crucial. But also just making sure that you're just accessible. The leader of the party definitely needs to be very out there, a tour de force, if you will. So we've made it, a real mission over this last year or so, I guess 8 months since I really have taken over, less than that, honestly, of, publishing op-eds, of being in the news cycle, talking about the party, talking about the work that we're doing. Naturally, it was very busy up in the election cycle. Post-election, making sure that the county clerk was held responsible for some just terrible management of the election, to be perfectly honest, keeping honor about that, and just kind of making sure that we're doing things the right way. I think that, at the end of the day, we lose a lot of time just, quarreling over, certain procedural things, and we've made mistakes in the past that we've had to rectify, whether or not it's, the Metro Council election that happened for District 3, where we had to sort of pull back and re-elect after an appeal was made. So I've just been focused on making sure that we're doing it the right way and the more transparent way. And then we're getting into reorganization time, and that's a really big lift as well. There's, 1,900 precinct spots that we got to fill, 54 positions on the executive committee, and then I do plan to run for chair again. So it's a busy time for all of us, and we're just trying to put it all together. I mean, the rally last week was fantastic. I really enjoyed that, but everyone loves a rally. Everyone loves to sort of shout and scream, but you got to direct that energy and that anger into actual tangible outputs. And I think that's something that we got to convince people to do. It's really easy to go to rallies. It's not easy to go out and work, but I think that we're moving there.
I really appreciated your comments about getting involved at the precinct level. A long, long time ago, I was actually on the executive committee
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
and tried and tried and tried to get people to move back toward local organizing, precinct level organizing, and was told to my face, that won't work, nobody will do it. And I thought, well, that explains a lot right there. So I really appreciated you making that effort. Speaking of that, so you said 55 people on the executive committee. That's how many LDs are there now?
It's 54, so there's 18 LDs in three positions in each LD, so 18
Right.
times three.
Okay. So out of the 18 LDs, are there any that you would say, and you don't need to name them unless you want to, that are really well organized, that the LD chair has the LD organized, maybe at the precinct level or the neighborhood level or something like that?
Oh yeah. I'm happy to name names if they're doing good work. Catherine Hargraves in District 34, LD 34, I should say, doing a fantastic job. She's been super engaged, in the time that I've been on the executive committee. She's already started doing that outreach for not only just the reorg, but for a lot of these special elections, trying to get people re-engaged with the party as we move into the reorganization process. So she's done fantastic work. 41 has been good. That's the Highlands area. Mike Ward and Lisa Tanner Norcus and Betsy Foster are the leaders in that precinct or that LD. I mean, there's a lot of folks that do a lot of really good work. I'll also shout out Beth Thorpe. She's the vice chair in the, oh shoot, 38th. I can't remember, but yeah, she does a lot of the comms that come out. So if you get a message from me as the chair, in all likelihood, Beth wrote the first draft of that, and I just kind of go through and tweak it. So she does awesome work, and so there's a lot of great people on that executive committee doing just fantastic things.
How are the clubs doing? At one time, many, many years ago, there were a number of fairly active Democratic clubs, and then gradually they all fell sort of by the wayside. I was, of course, president of Metro Democratic Club for what seemed to me like a long time. It probably wasn't. And then that club struggled for a while. How are the clubs doing today?
Some are doing better than others. I always have a soft spot for the club. So, I wasn't super politically engaged when I was in grad school. I was just way too busy. And I had done some stuff when I was at U of L between 2008, 2012. Worked on the Conway campaign and U of L college Dems, but not anything really serious. And after I finished up grad school in 2014, whenever it was, the first thing I did was actually reach out to the Metro Dems and say, like, hey, like, I don't know what any of this stuff is. Can you, like, am I allowed to come to this club meeting? Because I thought it was like something super exclusive. I was like worried about making a fool of myself, but I think it was Lauren Ingram that reached back out to me and was like, oh yeah, you're cool. Like, come on down and like, let's talk. And like, I definitely appreciated that because like I walked in that room and like, I was terrified of like being amongst like super important people, but it was just a bunch of people that are super laid back and chill and like wanted to get everyone engaged as much as possible. So I think clubs definitely serve a purpose of like that sort of intra-regional organization and outreach opportunities. Metro Dems has sort of revived itself. COVID was really tough for all of the clubs. It's just so tough to like have a club when you can't get together. And it's something that's sort of, abstract, I guess, if you want to call it that. Like, the clubs were obviously defined, but when you talk about, what the general output of those was, it was more of just like let's meet, gather, talk, strategize, and then take our energy out from that. And it's just difficult to sort of replicate that in a virtual setting. And so Metro Dems has been doing great under Ruth Gao, who is now a J-Town City Council person. The Young Dems is now under Derek Senegal. I had the pleasure of being the president of Young Dems back in 2017, 2018. They're doing good work. Kentucky Young Dems under Allison Wiseman. I mean, she's just an absolute rock star as well. Some of them are trying to make a comeback. Floyd's Fork is sort of reviving itself as well, although that one's remained pretty active for a long time. But like Okolona and Moe's Green and some of these other ones just, not really doing as much anymore. So it's definitely something that I've thought about. How do we actually fix the clubs? Is there a budget that we want to allocate every year to them? That obviously requires us to fundraise for that as well. But, we're just trying to figure out what works best for us and like what the structure is where, we don't want to take these on as like the added responsibility, but if we can empower them as much as we possibly can, that's probably the best outcome for us because we don't have to then, be everywhere all at once. We can just sort of delegate some of these outreach tasks to the club. So we'll see what happens there. I'm hoping that we can get them more engaged and revive some of these ones that have gone defunct.
Well, you provided my segue, which was very nice of you, because the next thing I was going to ask you about was fundraising. That's been a sore point for a long time. At one point, the local party had a fairly significant fundraiser that they would use every year. And if I understand correctly, that one basically got taken over by the state KDP. And so now it's back to you and the executive committee. What are you all doing for fundraising and how is it going?
Yeah, so the Wendell Ford dinner, I know that there was this sort of, quarrel between KDP and LDP about who specifically owns that, 5 or 6 years ago. It's been a purely LDP event for the last 4 or 5 years, as far as I remember. So that's good.
Good.
And we do have a really strong working relationship with KDP as well. Obviously, they do have full-time staff dedicated to party building, and Morgan Eaves, who is the current executive director, has been very dedicated to empowering the counties and giving them the tools that they need to be successful. But as far as fundraising goes, we did do our call time last year during the election cycle just to raise additional funds. We did sign sales, just other general small fundraisers to try and make some money. And we made a good amount. I mean, we were pushing signs all throughout the state. That's
Right.
another credit to Beth Thorpe. She basically set up this like virtual mall. So we were supplying other county parties with signs. So that made us some money. I mean, we were just calling folks up and asking for dollars. It's probably the first time that they've been called and asked for money in years, and they're like, "Yeah, we can give you $500." I mean, what I really would like to see is sort of a redirection of the big dollar funding, from the DNC and in some cases the state party into the local and county parties. Tim Walz came to town and raised $2 million, and Nancy Pelosi came to town and raised 500 grand. And a lot of that went to KDP, and a lot of it went to the DNC. And when I look at that aggregate number of $2.5 million, that's essentially Louisville raised dollars. What we could do with 10% of that, with $250,000, that's a full-time executive director, and perhaps another part-time or full-time staffer responsible for outreach or organizing or field, and that's just vital in a time like 2025 when you don't really have anything to sort of build towards outside of the 2026 elections and the fervor of, being against Donald Trump and his cronies. So it's just going to be something that we have to sit down with some of our, more prominent community members and say, like, I know it's not as cool as giving to Tim Walz and Kamala Harris and like the DNC, but it's something that's incredibly vital. And if you want to talk about a real return on it, on investment for your dollars, like there is no better place to put your money than a local party, because that's going to be boots on the ground. It's not going to go away every 4 years like a presidential campaign. Like even state house races are only every 2 years. So like if you want that solid, consistent party building and organizing that's going to lead to long-term impact, you got to give to the local party. And so that's going to be part of my 2025, is just having those initial conversations. I only have the position basically until the end of May, so time's running out for me to sort of get things done, and who knows if I'll be re-elected, but either way I want to make sure that chair of 2025 to 2029 for the Louisville Democratic Party is set up well, where they can go and ask these folks for money again and say, like, look what we did in 2024, with basically bootstrapping it and pushing out roughly $100,000 worth of service to local candidates. Imagine if we didn't have to like devote so much time to like purely fundraising in a mall, in a virtual mall, like selling things out the door. Like, what could we do just purely focused on community building and election results? And I mean, I think that's something that everyone's going to be really thrilled about, because the most crucial, I guess, driver of engagement has often been like the danger of losing control. And like we're at a point now where we're down to 13 Democrats on Metro Council, and there's still sort of fractures within that Democratic caucus at Metro Council. I mean, there's a real risk that we lose these. Now, 2026, looking at the numbers, looks a lot better for us at the Metro Council, but We're also going nonpartisan, so that's a whole another wrinkle. Like, I just want everyone to be very prepared for 2026.
So one of the things that I've been extremely excited about as the leadership of the local party has turned over is the age of the people involved. I was so ready for all of us old farts to get out of the way and let young Dems and young adults who are going to lead the party for the next 30 years get in there and get it, get it working. And I'm very excited to see you there, Roz, all of these people. So I'm wondering, I had a high schooler come up to me at the rally and ask about high school young Dems. Have you and the party done anything with that? And if so, what and how can the rest of us help maybe that get going as well?
Yeah, so high school young Dems does exist. I think there's a Kentucky High School Democratic thing under the Kentucky Young Dems. I've had some requests to go talk to high schools, to their Democratic clubs, that I've taken them up on their offers. I'm very close with the University of Louisville Young Dems, and I think that Bellarmine actually has a Democratic club as well. So that's obviously of the utmost importance. And I told all of them when I met with them last, they're like, well, a lot of them aren't from Louisville. Some of them are from, way out in the state or not even from Kentucky. But for the folks that are from Kentucky, I was like, listen, you might feel like you're underprepared to take on this responsibility, but I assure you, you're not. Like, if you end up doing the work, you are more prepared than most people, and you will contribute more than most people. Like, we're at a point now where I just want people to take the position seriously. Like, I'm sure that you probably agree with this. Like, in the past, it's more been like a title, and people just kind of hold the title. They show up to the meetings and like they say hello to their friends, especially like a social club. And like, I could definitely tell that, especially when Democrats had control, like back when I was getting sort of engaged in like 2015, 2016. And then 2016 rolls around and like we lose the House, and then 2018 rolls around and everyone's like, oh, we'll make up ground. And I'm like, ugh, have you been out in the state? We're gonna lose way more ground. And we ended up losing 15, 20 more seats. And I'm like, yeah, like this is like the Republicans didn't rest on their laurels when they were out getting their asses kicked for 100 years. I mean, it's gonna take us some time, and it's not gonna be fun. Like, I've told everyone this, like, this is not gonna be fun work rebuilding the Democratic Party in Kentucky, but it's gonna be necessary work, and I assure you that you will be rewarded in the long run for your efforts here if you are part of this like rebirth of the party, because people will recognize what you have done. And so that's kind of been my pitch to them, is like, pay your dues right now. Like, I get it. I'm a busy person. Like, I work 60 hours a week at my full-time job, and I help my wife with her tea shops and bakeries. And so, like, added on top of this, I'm pushing like 90 hours a week probably between all my jobs. Like, it's tough for young people, because like we're starting out in our careers, we're trying to advance to a level where we have some sort of financial stability, and everything's more expensive now, and inflation. And it's tough to say, hey, like, put that on the back burner and do something volunteer wise where you're not going to see the fruits of your labor for probably another 4 or 5 years, if that. So I think that's kind of what we've been pitching to them, is like, listen, there's this great opportunity to be a part of something bigger if you can just stick it out. And that's why I'm glad we do have these 4 year terms, because it's like, hey, if you're not committed for 4 years, I don't want you on the executive committee. Like, I need people that are going to be ready to go when I call on them, day or night. And so, yeah, the young people have sort of started to take up to that sort of mindset. I think we saw like the switch in favorability from Donald Trump to being super unfavorable. And then in 2024, I mean, he was kicking butt with Gen Z. I mean, he was like 60% favorable ratings with people under the age of 25, which was absolutely insane to me. But like, now it's starting to dip back down. I mean, we can say what we want about like attention spans of young folks. I know I have my issues there as well, but I think people are seeing like, Yeah, chaos is kind of fun. Like it's quirky when you're campaigning, but when you're actually running a country, it's not good. And it just creates chaos and instability. And now people are losing grants and people are losing funding for their student loans. And like it's people aren't happy. Inflation's out of control and eggs are $8 a dozen. And so like there's that stakes that now exist. And I mean, speaking of stakes, like one of the things that's important now for these precinct positions is if there's a vacancy, the precinct leaders of a specific district make up the nominating committee. It hasn't been like that in the past. And so, like, that's the carrot that I'm dangling out there. It's like, hey, I know these roles haven't been defined. Like, I don't know what a precinct captain is. I couldn't, like, speaking just like as a person unaffiliated with, as if I were a person unaffiliated with, like, politics and the Democratic Party structure, if I was walking into this thinking, hey, I don't know what a precinct captain does, like even me as the chair of the party would be like, well, your job is to organize your precinct. Like, what does that actually mean? But that sort of carrot that we're dangling out there now of, hey, if there's a vacancy, you're going to have a percentage vote and who becomes the next leader of your district or the next Democratic nominee at the very least. I think that's something that's been like really enticing to a lot of people and shows that like true impact that you could have.
Okay, so this year is reorg, which we all hear about, but many people don't understand. So why don't you? If you can do it in less than 30 minutes, why don't you explain reorg to our listeners and viewers?
Yeah, so this will be my second time going through reorg after 2020 or 2021 since we were delayed because of COVID. Essentially, what happens with reorganization is the slate gets wiped clean. So your precinct positions, your LD positions, your county party leadership, your Kentucky State Central Executive Committee, your DNC positions, like it's all gone. Like it all gets wiped away. And the party essentially builds itself back up from the grassroots level up. And so you start out with your precinct elections, which are like the smallest component of the Democratic Party. And then you go up to the, in Jefferson County's position, you go up to the LDs. And then
So
you elect.
let's explain what LD stands
Yeah,
for.
so the legislative district is basically just the House districts. So, you know, I'm in District 42. Joshua Watkins is my state representative, so I'm in LD 42. They're essentially the folks that serve on the executive committee of the Louisville Democratic Party. So there's three positions in all of the legislative districts, and then all the legislative district leaders then vote on the county party chair. And then we also have the state convention where, you know, the leaders of Jefferson County come and they vote on who the representatives from, it's technically broken down by congressional district, but I'm just going to call it Louisville for, you know, simplicity's sake. Louisville's going to pick their people that are going to go sit on the Kentucky State Central Executive Committee. And then the Kentucky State Central Executive Committee then picks the people that will serve as chair and then as the representatives to the Democratic National Committee. So it's a really cool process. It's long and arduous, but it is a lot of fun. You know, we haven't confirmed the dates for this year, but I will throw out like tentatively, we're looking at mid-early May for precinct elections and then mid-late May for legislative district and county elections. So we'll finalize that and advertise that over the next month or so and start taking nominations and, you know, registrations for people that want to take place in or run for things in their precinct level. So it's a great process. It's a great procedure really to just get engaged in the community as much as possible. You know, someone asked me after the rally last Saturday, they're like, well, I don't have much time to go out. I don't think I can be a precinct captain. You know, it just seems like too much time, too much work. And I'm like, honestly, give me an hour or two every month, 1 or 2 hours every month. And that would be an amazing outcome for a precinct chair. I mean, if you can just take 1 hour of your month every month just to, you know, say, hey, I'm going to host a, you know, meeting at a coffee shop and talk to people, or I'm going to go knock on doors or whatever it might be. I'm just going to post on social media and try and get folks. Like, that's great. That's the organizing that we're looking for. And it just has to be strong and consistent. That's the key. Like, we can't just come around once every 4 years or once every 2 years and start pushing the messaging. We need the precinct people to say, here's why Donald Trump is bad. Here's why Democrats are good. And just hammer that home, every single day, or at the very least, like once a month, get out there and say that. So, I think that's sort of what I'm hoping for our precinct people. And then obviously from our executive committee, they're supposed to be more engaged. They're supposed to be identifying people that are going to be running for office. They're supposed to be organizing the entire district of there. So it's more responsibility. And my hope is that those individuals are, putting in 5 to 10 hours a month. I mean, it's really not that much, but it should be something that you're going out, 2 hours a week and just talking to your neighbors, doing things, talking to your precinct people, what have you. And then, as we go up the line, responsibilities get added. But, reorg is it's going to be transparent this year. I mean, when I first wanted to be engaged in the reorg process in 2016, and my state rep at the time was the LD chair, and was basically like, well, I think I've been doing a good job. Why are you going to run against me? And in my naivete, I was like, oh yeah, sure, like I'll just give it to you. But I knew, later on, like, oh, he didn't go to meetings. I should have just run against him and taken the seat. So, like, at this point in time, I'm just like, I want people that show up. I want people that are going to go out and organize and do the actual work. That's all I ask. And I want people to find those people within their communities that will run for that. Because, like I said earlier, there's 1900 precinct positions. I mean, I don't anticipate we're going to fill all of those. I hope that we can get close to half of those filled. Like, that would be a fantastic outcome for us. I mean, in the ideal world, I'd like to see two-thirds of these things filled up, but that's tough. That's a lot of positions. I realize that, but we'll get there eventually.
So, if somebody wants to be involved, how can they do that? How can they get their name on the list to be notified when the precinct elections happen?
Yeah, so I would just say, I mean, I know this doesn't sound transparent, but I assure you it's probably the most transparent that we can be. I would just say, like, pay attention, because we're going to advertise it widely. Assuming that we get things done the right way, we're basically going to open up the entire month of April for nominations and registration. So we're going to push it out on social media. We're going to push it out in community meetings. I'll do more interviews like this and say, I want you to run. I want you to go to LouisvilleDems.com and fill out the form to sign up to run, or just to be, an elector at the precinct elections. So, from that perspective, I would just say you should see something from us in the next few weeks or so. Like, we'll start advertising probably in 3 or 4 weeks and then finally open it up. But, I want our elected officials to be engaged in this. I want our current leadership to be engaged in this, even if they're not going to be running again in 2025 this year. Like, it's going to be all hands on deck to fill these out.
So LouisvilleDems.org,
Dot com.
dot com,
I,
LouisvilleDems.com. And if they go there, there's a place they can sign up for a newsletter or something.
yeah, yeah. So we've got like a master calendar. We've got, opportunities to get connected to their current legislative district leadership. And we do have the opportunity to sign up for, the mailing list. So yeah, there's tons of opportunities. Follow the Louisville Democrats on Facebook, Blue Sky, whatever it might be. I'm not on social media too much, but enough to be totally dangerous with it. So, yeah, you will see it. I promise you that. And if you don't, I mean, they're free to contact me if they want. Like, my
Well,
email
and
is
of
there.
course, there's always the option of the Louisville Democratic Party reaching out to this place called Forward Kentucky with a
Absolutely.
press release and saying, okay, announce this for us.
100%, yeah.
All right. So, last two questions. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that I haven't asked you about?
I think I would just say, like, I know things look really dire right now. And I know we're continuing to see fractures within the Democratic Party. Like, I just read an article today about, are the Democrats having their Tea Party moment? And I remember back in 2010 when the Tea Party came around and everyone thought, oh, this is the death of the Republican Party. Like, there's no way they recover from this. And then, 6 years later, they got Donald Trump in the White House. We're gonna get through this. We always have. There's been rifts in the past, it's just the way things work. We'll sort of reconfigure ourselves and understand, what we need to do. I think that the incoming DNC chair is a fantastic pick. He's really focused on empowering not only the state parties, but also the local parties, especially in our major metropolitan areas, of which I would like to consider Louisville, one of those. Just sort of like this renewed energy of not necessarily making it a top-down DNC approach, but saying, hey, like, we understand we had over $1 billion in our coffers in 2024 and it didn't work. Maybe it's time to do more community organizing in the places where we've just ignored in the past, 15, 20 years or so. So I think that, crisis breeds opportunity. And we are definitely in a crisis moment as a party, as a country. And I think that we're ready to kind of get things moving in the right direction. There's going to be opportunities to make a massive amount of difference. There's going to be opportunities to shake things up where we see needed. We need voices from every single, perspective of the Democratic Party. We're the big tent party. I'm not shying away from that. I'm not saying, like, hey, centrist folks, you're out. I'm not saying, hey, you far left, super progressives and DSA folks, you're not allowed in. Everyone's allowed in. Like, we'll find a place for you. Me being as some would say, like a Bernie-crat, since I voted for Bernie in 16 and 20, like maybe a little farther left than most people, but I understand what we can do. Like, I understand where to pick the battles and how to get the wins to actually like progress the agenda that I might have personally. I understand I'm not going to get everything that I want, but you play the part and you just sort of, progress as much as you possibly can to make sure that things are going right. And I think that, this all or nothing sort of mentality that we sometimes have in politics is really detrimental to us progressing as a country and as a party itself. So I think that we're in a prime position to make some good things happen and to make some real big changes.
Okay, last question. You just finished saying, I can't get everything I want. Well, I always end with this question, which is, if I gave you a magic wand and you could wave it and have anything that you wanted out of the magic wand, what would you wave it to get?
I mean, the obvious answer is like $1 billion, but I don't know if I would
Yeah,
actually
maybe
need
I
it.
need to put some qualifiers on this question, like you can't wish for money. But
Yeah. So if I had my way, if I had one wish that is within reason, I wish that we could create a really solid, unified messaging platform for the party. That's what we got hammered on in 2024. We keep on saying like we're for good jobs, we're for cheap healthcare, and I'm like, but how? And then we see oftentimes we sort of means test our sort of policy, and it doesn't work. I mean, I th there's like a there's a tweet from Vice President. Former Vice President Harris that I always hearken back to because it was just so like strange to see. It was when she was running for president in 2020, and it was something along the lines of like my administration will provide student loan forgiveness for Pell Grant recipients that open a business in a depressed census tract for 5 years. And like just reading that thing, I was like, what is going on? Like, what are all these qualifiers? And I think like she definitely in 2024 built on that by just saying like, hey, if you open up a small business, you're going to get 50 grand in tax credits. And I was like, that's an awesome idea. That's simple, that's quick and to the point. But like that was really the only thing that I could sort of look back on and be like, yeah, that's like the one solid policy point beyond just like, hey, we're not going to be like calling for trans people and gay people to not have rights like the Republicans are. Like we're for civil rights for all people, like the Republicans aren't essentially. So I think like moving beyond that to that economic message, like what she had said with her small business tax credit, I think is going to work out really well for us. So I think that like I'm looking forward to working with Congressman McGarvey, our state delegation at in Frankfurt, and our Metro Council folks and our mayor to basically come together and say, okay, let's just like nail down 10 things that we all can really agree on, and just like have that be our main messaging. So that way we're not all conflicting with each other. We can all come back and say, okay, the LDP has this, you know, they got flyers, they got walk cards, and I can go walk with this anywhere in the country, anywhere in the state, anywhere in the city, and say, yeah, this is going to be our messaging. So like that's my big hope. It's like I just want us to all be on the same team. And it hasn't really felt like that in the past, for a number of different reasons. But I think that again, being in this position of being in like a super minority in the state house and the state senate, and also now being in like not even a majority in the Metro Council, because of Paula McCraney's defection, is I just we need to do better about essentially just getting along and making sure that we're all sort of beating the same drum and like moving to the same tune. So that's my magic wand wish, and it's not as flamboyant as I would like, but you know, it's fine.
It probably would have more impact than some other things you might say.
I mean, $1 billion buys a lot of friends, I'll say that much.
That's true. Logan Gaddy, chair of the Louisville Democratic Party, former Young Dem president, taking the local party to new levels of engagement. Thank you so much for being with us on the State of Kentucky.
Thank you for having me. It's always good to talk to you, Bruce.
My thanks to Logan Gaddy for taking time to share with us what's going on with Louisville Dems, and thanks to him also for the great work he and the leadership team are doing with that organization. I mentioned at the beginning about supporting our work. We need a sponsor for the State of Kentucky videocast and podcast. If you or your organization are interested in being a sponsor, simply go to forwardky.com, forwardky.com, and up in the menu there is Support the Work, and under that there is Sponsor and Advertise. It's all explained right there. It's not very expensive, and you can get your message out to lots of different people. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll have some more State of the Kentucky videocasts and podcasts coming soon. Take care.